Hello, everyone. Esther here again. I am your host for the Kampala Innovation Week podcast, and I'm also the head of communications at Startup Uganda. So for today's episode, we'll hear from two of our KRW partners on what it is they can do for you as startups and as entrepreneurs, and what you can expect from them at Kampala Innovation Week. So Enable, which is a Belgian development agency, and Motive, a maker's space, which you will hear more about from the head, are both partners that will be in the studio with us, and both organizations work within the area of practical skills development, which is really a pertinent one to today's youth. So first in studio with me, we have Eugene Kavuma. He is the community lead at Motive. Hi, Eugene.
Hi, Esther. How are you?
I am great. So perhaps you can just start by telling us a little bit about what Motive does, who you are, especially in relation to practical skills development, and how startups can benefit. Yes.
Maybe I start with the practical skills aspect of things. Sure. We like to call ourselves an applied technologies hub. The reason for that is language is such a strong and important things in the description of things. Mm-hmm. Omwana and Ogwana are two very similar things, but they really represent a different context through which someone views something.
Yeah.
So Motive is a makerspace, East Africa's largest makerspace, mm-hmm. and is built on three pillars. Our tribe, which we call our community, which we call our tribe. The access to tools, which is a space that we have kitted out for the maker to always find a space, from content creation to food manufacturing to textile district, if you are a fashion designer, to metal and woodwork. Mm-hmm. We also have a people district where the average maker who falls across the board will always find a studio to come and run their practice at.
Yeah. I like that. So how can you describe your working modules a bit, the ways in which you reach out to some of these parties? If I'm a woodmaker, if I am a metal, you know, shaper, how can I reach out and actually access the services that you offer?
Yeah, so our makers, our tribe is very critical to us, and we run outreach events where we are like, hey, there's some guys in this particular location who are making glass, and we reach out to them and visit their locations usually, see how what we can do to sort of scale what it is that they are doing. And then in other instances, we have a community website, a tribe website, where you go to there and join the tribe, and then every 2 weeks we collect about 20 people and do a Zoom conversation with them and identify where are your interests and what do you like. Even though we are currently in the beginning stages, we see a lot of response, particularly in the textile space.
Yeah.
So we have our very first makerspace that's going to be fully operational within the next 2 weeks will be the textile district. And so for the fashion designer, for the leather work player, if your material of choice is somewhere in the textile space, we will have a maker space ready for you to experiment and do some epic things with.
I love that. I love that. So I know Motive launched around earlier this year.
In March.
Yeah. So as soon as the pandemic hit, you guys were also taking
off. Bring it on.
Yeah. I love that. So do you think there are ways in which your working modules have sort of been shaped by the impact of COVID? Are there ways that you're operating that you might not have operated last year? And how have some of those modules changed?
So there's this Batman movie where Bane, who was born in the darkness, says that thing of, you know, you merely adopted, we were born in it.
Yes,
so we were born in the middle of COVID. We don't know any different. So our approach has been like purely for the time. Even our initial product development was masks that we made about 250,000 of, so that we can maintain the 100 and something young women who work with us currently in our textile district. We've been lucky that we've had the support of the MasterCard Foundation to make some of this work, but we've also had the opportunity to reach out courtesy of that of that support to other business entities and yes. produce these masks for them. So we do not know any different. We were born in the middle of COVID, and we right away started responding to that particular need.
Yeah.
But even going forward, and the recognition that while we were going to depend a lot on physical visits, we are working around that. Mm-hmm. We are creating the virtual factory network where you can plug in as a member of the Tribe of Motive from 6 different locations across the country and use and have access to our virtual factory and do run your prototypes from on there and then bring them to the HQ for mass production.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, so it's good actually that you brought in, you know, the idea of people outside of Kampala. I think sometimes a largely ignored sector when some of these things are being developed are the low-income populations, people that might not have as much access to places like Motive here in Kampala or Innovation Village or even access to internet. So how are you sort of using applied technology to ensure that you're actually reaching those low-income populations? Refugees, for example, people, that might just not have access to a lot of these things.
Yeah. One of the beauties of applied technologies is you have to apply it. If you're not applying it, it is not working. And if you look back on that particular funnel, is that in order for you to use any piece of tool or equipment, you have to have access to it. So we tend to go into these regions and spaces and see what do people currently have access to and what are they making out of that.
Yeah.
We know that we have a program called Kumi Kumi in Bidibidi where bringing together these displaced individuals who have a specific set of skills and then making the most of that skill to create a product. Even away from those guys, say for example in Mbarara, there's some young lady making shoe soles.
Yes,
in Jinja, there's another young man who plays very well with leather. We are having the opportunity to merge those two at our HQ.
Yeah.
So our goal really, how do we reach the guys out who are applying technology in their spaces, is to go to them.
We
are lucky that we're in a space that we can do that, but we don't take that for granted either.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the strangest things is because people have not been influenced by the internet, their creativity is out of this world.
Yes.
You look at things and you're like, what? How?
Yeah.
And so that mind-blowingness of actually leave the city, leave the screen and see what you come across.
On the ground.
We are lucky to be able to do that.
That's great. So as partners of Kampala Innovation Week, what were some of your motivations for joining this event, for coming on board as a partner?
One of our motivations is the excitement to see a set of creative, innovative individuals, organizations coming together. It's like the beauty of the rainbow is not in its singular color. It's when you see it from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, that's like bringing all those amazing creative organizations and individuals, actually having the opportunity to like host them. Because you guys are going to be a motive, man.
We're really
you
excited.
Haven't seen anything.
We are
very good at hosting,
excited.
You know. So for us, it's a thing we want to keep practicing, the constant hosting. So part of our motivation is that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also always looking to support creatives, makers, individuals playing within that particular field. And if this is what we can offer, we are more than happy to.
So what can we expect from you at the event? I feel like you've given us a little bit of a taste. I personally am looking forward to those mind-blowing on-the-ground innovations. But what are some of the things that we can expect from Motive at the event?
From Motive, we are amazing hosts. That for sure.
You will
experience. Maybe that one is better experienced than talked about. But you'll also get the chance to meet some of the makers we have worked with since the start of Motive. Some of those guys are definitely not from Kampala, and you will see what I mean when I say when you step away from the screen, be ready to be surprised. And then you'll also get a chance to check out our facilities, from content creation in the area of media to to the space of the people district itself, to the textile district, to the metal and woodwork space, mm-hmm. to see the tools that we have in place, and perhaps even you could become a member of the tribe. You know, it's like it's really affordable and you have access to all these amazing tools.
Yeah.
So we hope that when you show up,
yes.
Look for Kavuma, yeah? I will give you a tour, like a brief one, and then tell you how much.
Yeah. How much it is, yes, to access the services. We're looking forward. Startups, entrepreneurs, I hope you have heard that. Depending on the SOPs at that time, we are hoping to actually have a selected number, you know, a very reduced number of people that can be present at Motive as we film the panel sessions, as we, you know, watch the keynotes and things like that. So, yeah, let's pray that the pandemic actually sort of slows down and we're able to open those doors. But for now, Motive is actually open. It's in Bugolobi.
Yeah, it is in Bugolobi and yes. Yeah, on Old Port Bay Road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's very difficult to miss. We are right opposite National Water. If you have a sense of smell,
okay.
You will not miss us.
Yes, yeah. So please feel free to visit. There's so many services, training programs. Yeah, if you are a maker in this space, any type of maker, this is the place for you. Thank you so much for being with us in the studio today, Eugene. We're really looking forward to partnering for KIW. I don't know whether you have any parting remarks before we...
Pat. That's my remark.
Thank you. Yes. And now we will have Mrs. Margaret from Enable joining us in the studio. Now with us in studio is Margaret Mbawazi, the National Pedagogy Project Officer at Enable, another of the Kampala Innovation Week partners. It's a pleasure to have you in studio. Margaret, you're welcome.
Thank you very much, Esther. Yes. How are you?
I'm well. I'm good. So yes, I'm just jumping right into it. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about what Enable does and the ways in which startups and entrepreneurs in particular can benefit from Enable.
Thank you very much. Enable is a very big organization. And we have different projects. We have the teacher training education project. We have the support to skilling Uganda project. We also have the Enable in Ministry of Health,
mm-hmm.
where we actually work with health facilities on so many aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And we are very much concerned with entrepreneurship, especially with the Support to Skilling Uganda project,
mm-hmm.
Where we support young people with skills, very many different skills in electrical installation,
mm-hmm.
in building,
mm-hmm.
And also in fabrication, and many other aspects that they do. And what we do there is basically to work with the young people in vocational training institutes,
mm-hmm.
whereby they are trained in hands-on, practical experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And then after they have graduated, they get out of the colleges and they are actually given small financing, which enable them to make startups. And of course, they are followed and see how they are progressing in these startups.
Mm.
And that is how basically the Support to Skilling Uganda helps with especially the entrepreneurship of the young people.
Yeah,
and we are very mindful of gender. Mm. So we have both boys and girls in these institutions, and it's done across. We have some institutions we are supporting in the Western region, in Fort Portal,
mm-hmm.
in Hoima,
yeah.
in Karamoja, and many other areas.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but also in the teacher training education project, we also very mindful on the digital agenda, and we also support the teachers in the national teacher colleges to especially upskill them in terms of the teacher training, because we're looking at improving teacher training in secondary schools.
Mm-hmm.
So the teachers are actually supported in digitalization. We have actually provided them with ICT equipment. They have very big ICT equipments in all the national teachers' colleges. The infrastructure there is very good.
Mm-hmm.
And we have in every college, we have ICT officers that support their peers to bring them up in terms of technology use, especially in delivering lessons,
so
that they deliver 21st century skills with the teachers, which teachers will go back to the secondary and also deliver that to the secondary school students.
Okay, that's great. I like that you've talked about digital and, you know, the role that it plays in the work that you do. I think, you know, given COVID-19 and the impacts that we faced, there are many ways in which a lot of working modules have had to change for so many spaces. How has COVID-19 impacted the way you communicate to these vocational training institutes, the teacher training program spaces? How have your working modules sort of changed to
Yes, I want to say that first and foremost, we have embraced digitalization even much more than we had done in the past.
Yeah.
We have been in the SSU, for instance, they have been trainings with the vocational institutes, different trainings on how to especially use Zoom, for instance, and how to, you know, collaborate and communicate outside the teaching and learning spaces in the NTCs.
Yeah.
We have come up with a strategy, which we have codenamed the sandbox in the colleges, whereby we have taken the teacher trainers through different ICT tools that they can use in the classrooms.
And
these ICT tools, they have been having what we have termed as communities of practice. And these communities of practice are every week. And every week we have an ICT tool that we introduce to them. And then we allow them to actually get to learn and to start practicing that. But also, initially, before that, we had a precursor to these ICT tools trainings. And we had a hackathon, a digital hackathon, whereby we allowed the teachers, for instance, to come on board and prepare digital lessons. And they competed amongst themselves. And that was actually making them start to think about digitalization, considering that we noticed that the learners, the schools had been closed, and they needed to keep in touch, and some of them had not completed their syllabuses, and they needed to actually endeavor to see that they keep in touch with their students. And we think that, that is the way to go.
Absolutely.
So both in SSU and also in teacher training projects, we are really training our teachers to ensure that they take back what they've learned to the students and they can easily collaborate. We started by giving them simple basics on how to use Zoom, and then later we took them deep into the ICT tools that they can use in their lessons.
To be able to. Earlier you also talked a little bit about your presence in different parts of Uganda. And I think one of the biggest issues when with a lot of these trainings and things is sometimes reaching the last mile, you know, the very, very low income populations can be a little bit of a challenge. So what are the ways in which, like, for example, you know, when you're training at these vocational training institutes, are there methods that you have or that you're employing to reach that last mile? To talk to those low-income populations.
Yeah, because for us, thank you very much for that question. For us, ours is like almost a cascade approach, whereby you work with the teachers, and which teachers will go down to the people. But we ensure that we make sure that we support them. And how have we supported them? We have given them Zoom. We have subscribed for them Zoom, which Zoom they can actually also use to convene meetings at the local level and talk amongst themselves as lecturers, as teachers and tutors in VTIs, and then also talk to their learners, because the subscription is big. They can always have their local meetings where they bring on board their students. Also, we have also worked with MTN and we have given them some short messages, texting messages, which they can use. So that at least even if somebody doesn't have maybe a phone that is high level for touch and so on, at least they receive a message and they'll know what is happening. And then they'll probably couple with some people and then they'll come together and get to know what is happening. Basically, that's what we are trying to do to reach the lowest person through the tutors, through the lecturers, and then also by subscribing to them in their institutions, giving them Zoom, giving them, you know, SMSs so that they communicate, because the beginning point is communication.
Very, very true. Very true. Thank you. Thank you. That's really good work that Enable is actually doing. So we're very excited to have Enable as partners once again for Kampala Innovation Week. We had you on board last year. We had an amazing hackathon together. We were truly, truly appreciative of that experience. So what were some of the motivations for joining Kampala Innovation Week again for Enable?
Well, I want to say that Enable is committed to digitalization. And we shall continue being committed to upskilling and skilling people and bridging the skills gaps for especially the partners that we work with, the lecturers, and also the VTI tutors, and later our own students that go in those institutions.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically, we were interested in getting to partner with the Innovation Week, you know, organizers,
yes,
to learn from them, to share our experiences, but also to show them that, you know what, we are also part of this commitment, and because we think that is the way to go.
Yeah, because
in the 21st century, COVID-19 actually, that is the silver lining that we should say that more than ever before, we're now all thinking about digitalization.
Absolutely. So, we're very dependent on it now. Very true. Okay, that's great. And then are there some things that you can talk about that the startups and entrepreneurs can look forward to from Enable this year at Kampala Innovation Week?
I don't want to be very committed, but I think we're also thinking in terms of how best are we going to work with this Innovation Week differently than what we did most likely in the previous year. Maybe we shall have to showcase some of the things that we have been doing. Probably we shall have, this is a probability, maybe we shall have also experience sharing by the people who have been, you know, benefiting from us, and many other innovative ways of really manifesting and showcasing what we are doing.
We're very excited, I think, to see what Enable can bring to the table, especially because you work with a lot of people outside Kampala, and the fact that this year the Innovation Week is going to be predominantly virtual is going to be an opportunity for people even outside of Kampala to participate wholly. So we're very much looking forward to what you have to bring on board. Yes. Thank you very much for joining us in studio today, Margaret. I don't know whether you have any closing remarks, maybe anything people can look forward to.
Well, I just want to say that, like you said, we are also equally excited.
Yes.
We shall be very happy to be part of the Innovation Week this year.
Yes.
And we shall bring on board the innovations that we have put in place in all our, you know, institutions, in the VTIs, in the teacher training education project, and also probably also the health people, if they're invited on board, they could also showcase what they are doing with result-based financing and how they are managing the health centers out there, because those are also innovative ways of making people work with digital, you know, innovations. Otherwise, I want to thank you very much for today, and I hope that we shall continue working together.
Thank you, startups and entrepreneurs, for tuning in. Watch this space for episode 3 of the Kampala Innovation Week podcast.